Good morning. It is great to see all of you. Away for 2 weekends, you're probably thinking that Father Christian Smith had overthrown me as pastor. It's never the ones you expect. And he's so nice. And plus he got rid of his glasses, so he starts looking like me even more. But I was away 2 weekends ago at a wedding for 2 former students in Tucson. And then last weekend, I was at the University of Mary commencement. They had commencement because of COVID for last year's class, and then this year's class as well. I come back, we're still in the full swing of Easter, but the flowers are gone. They had withered. And so it's feeling very barren in this church. And so yesterday, on the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, in this year of St. Joseph, I went outside our front door and I killed a flower. I came and brought that dead flower now and put it at the feet of Joseph in honor of him. It may look like it's still alive, but I plucked that thing with my bare hands out from its life source, and it'll sit there. It'll sit there for another couple days, maybe even a week or more, and it'll still be beautiful. It'll still look like it's alive. It even has a little bit of water to give it a little bit of oomph. But it'll soon wither and it'll die. The other day, I made the first barbecue of the spring. And you know the barbecue grills where you get the charcoals and you put them in a big pile and you light them. And you can get them in these smoker grills where you can light the pile of charcoals and they'll burn for hours and hours and hours. But if you take one of those charcoals away from this pile with all the heat, with its life source, and you remove it and you put it on its own, it'll be red hot and it'll burn and glow for a short while, but it'll soon go dead and cold. I had two funerals on Friday. They were beautiful funerals. They were very small. Both of the men had been single their whole life, but they had had tremendous, tremendous faith, and so they were beautiful funerals. And there were two lives which were lived very much hidden from human eyes. We worry. We worry often about how human eyes see our lives. And so we wonder things like, what will people say at my funeral? What will people say at your funeral? When you've passed away and your loved ones are all there, what will they say about you at your funeral? My old man, my dad would wonder this, but he would wonder it with a different twist. He would say that he would regret that he's not going to be able to be there at his funeral to hear all the nice things people are going to finally say about him. He'd miss all the nice things people are finally going to be gushing over about him at his funeral. And so for his 70th birthday party, we threw him a huge Irish wake. It was a heck of a party. And each one of us, each of the kids and his wife, got up there and we each took turns roasting him. It was glorious. And we said nice things about him at the end as well. So you guys laugh nervously because you think we're mean, but you don't know my dad. He absolutely loved it. He loved it. But we wonder, what do people say at my funeral? Because we worry about how human eyes see our lives. But more importantly is when you've died, what will be the fruits of your life that will live on long, long past your own life? What will be the eternal fruit that will have come from your years, as many or as short as they are? Because this is to see your life through God's eyes. It's to see your life through the eyes of faith. This This is what Jesus speaks about in the gospel today when he talks about the vine and the branches. To remain connected to him, united to him who is the life source. Unlike a flower or a charcoal, the flower is going to die anyway at some point. The charcoal, the whole pile will go dead. But to remain connected to the vine is to remain connected to a life source which never dies. But then he says something really hard. Jesus says something very hard that sounds harsh today. He says that apart from me, you can do nothing. He doesn't say apart from me, you can do a little bit. Or apart from me, you can do a bit, but you won't fulfill your full potential. No, he says, apart from me, if you're disconnected from me, you can do nothing. This isn't God giving us a guilt trip. He's just speaking of reality here. That he's God and we're not. You can live a life in which you have incredible accomplishments and you leave a tremendous legacy in the sight of human eyes. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But if you lived that life and you weren't in communion with God, none of that matters. It'll mean absolutely nothing. It'll be dust, which withers, fades, crumbles, and blows away. In other words, there'll be no lasting fruit in your life. Many people no longer remember the name Ozymandias. That name Ozymandias. He was for a long stretch the most powerful man in the entire world. He was given the name of Ramses II. More people will probably recognize that name. He was the pharaoh, historians believe, during the time of Moses. And he was, for that stretch, the most powerful man in the world. Percy Shelley, the 19th century poet, wrote a poem called Ozymandias about this man who, when he died, had built for him one of the most marvelous tombs in the entire known world. It was part of one of the wonders of the world. You know, the Sphinx, where it's the lion body and the pharaoh's head. Percy Shelley wrote a short poem, and he said, I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that it sculpture well those passions red which yet survive. Stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside them remains round the decay of that colossus wreck. Boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Ozymandias wanted those words written there, look on my works, ye mighty, in despair, to be words of intimidation, that those who would come and visit his tomb would see that they would never be able to meet the great accomplishments and the great things he had built. Percy Shelley twists it, though, that these are not words of intimidation. They're words of patheticness. They're words of futility. Look on his great works in despair, because they're all crumbling. They're all dust surrounded by scattered sand. Apart from God, we can't do anything. That's the harsh news.
purpose of our lives, though, the purpose of why God became man, is to be in communion with God. This is what heaven is, to be united with God in the next life, but united with Him in this life. And so communion with God is a deep and real life of prayer. To be in communion with God is to be in the life of the sacraments, Mass. It's to live the Ten Commandments. It's to remain in God's love so that He can remain in us. And God remaining in us, that's to be filled with grace. That's to be in the state of grace. When one is in the state of grace, God's very life is alive within you. Him in us, and us in Him. Because the harsh news is apart from Him we can do nothing. But here's the good news. Is that if we remain in communion with God, every little thing we do is shot through with grace. Every little thing you do in your life will bear eternal fruit. So if you have a life of incredible accomplishments and legacy, that's wonderful. And if you've lived it in communion with God, that will live on and give fruit for eternity. If you've lived a life in which it's been one continuous failure after another failure after another sad failure, if you lived that life in communion with God, every little bit of it will bear eternal fruit, even if with human eyes you can't see any of it. You can't see any of it. It'll bear eternal fruit. If you've lived a hidden life in which you go to work each day and you live like the 75 to 85% of Americans who really dislike and hate their job, Google it, percentage of Americans who hate their job. It lands between 75 and 85%. If they could get a different job tomorrow, they would leave theirs and get it. If you live in a job where you see it as meaningless, even if you're a toll keeper or whatever it might be, if you live that in communion with God and offered it to Him, it will bear eternal fruit. If you're a stay-at-home parent and you look at your life and think, I have so much untapped potential, all those years, every little ounce of love you poured out there will bear eternal fruit. If you live your last years in a nursing home and you live them where you're pretty much all alone, but you live in communion with God praying and are a powerhouse of prayer that is so needed in this world, every single prayer that you utter will bear eternal fruit in this life, in the next. Apart from God, we can do absolutely nothing. Our lives have no fruit. But in communion with God, we bear incredible, even if invisible, fruit. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit.